Good morning. How you guys doing? Good? It has been a crazy couple weeks. I know we've had power outages for days. We've had snowstorms, daylight savings. So I know you're pretty exhausted in here, some of you this morning. So I just want you to come alive a little bit. Why don't we just give God some praise to start this up? So I know you guys are awake. Come on, it's God. Give God some praise. Thank you. All right. Amen. I feel like I can get going now. So in Genesis 19, we read a story about Sodom and Gomorrah, a city with such sin and wickedness and evil that God has to destroy it. So what God does is he sends his two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah. And as they're approaching the gates, Lot is there at the gates. And as they approach the gate, Lot greets them. And as they're talking, they have a conversation, and Lot welcomes them to stay with him in his house. And the two angels, they're like, well, we're just going to stay in the center of the city. We're going to stay in town tonight. And Lot, knowing how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah is, urgently suggests to them that they would stay with him in his home. So the men, they agree to do that. And they go with Lot, and they stay in his house. And while they're in his house, all the men, young and old, of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the men gather and surround the home, and they start yelling for Lot to send out the two angels so that they can violate these two men. It's getting rowdy outside, and Lot goes outside, and he's strongly urging, please don't do this. These are guests of mine. You don't have to do this. And the crowd is not listening to him, and they're starting to push forward and press forward. So the angels have to pull Lot inside to protect him, and they strike all the men with blindness so they don't know what's happening. So now the angels are urging Lot and his family, look, you guys need to leave. God has showed his mercy on you. He's going to spare you. You need to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah because he is going to destroy this city. And there's a little bit of like hesitation. You can imagine, this is Lot's home. This is his family. This is where he lives. He has his belongings. Do we just go? Do we take anything with us? I can imagine this being a tough decision to make when people are just saying, you need to leave now. If you want to live, get out of this city. Even with still some hesitation, the angels have to grab their arms and lead them out of the city. And as they're leading them out of the city, he tells them of a town to go stay in. He says, stay in this town, you'll be safe. But here's what you can't do. As you're running to this town, God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Do not look back at what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot and his family, they get to this town, and they're safe. God spared them. God sends fire down and destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot's wife, she was drawn to the city. It was her home. Even though the angels told her, whatever you do, don't look back, she couldn't help herself. She was a part of that life, which was now her past life. She had connections there. Whatever it was, the wickedness, something drew her to that life, to her home. And she turns and she looks back at Sodom and Gomorrah in flames being destroyed. And she turns to a pillar of salt and dies. She said, don't look back. I've been there before. I've looked back before at past things in my life, past struggles. When crying out to God, we cry out to God, Lord, take us, save us from this life, God. We don't want to live this way anymore. And what does God do? He comes, he saves you out of that life. He brings you forward. He sets you free. Don't look back, children. Just look, go with me. Run to the cross. What I have for you is so amazing. Don't look back, but something happens. And so many times we get caught looking back. Just starts maybe just peeking back or running back to that old life, that past life. And I get it. It's familiar. Just like Lot's wife. We've been there. We know what's going on in that life. It's even though it's sinful and we cried for God to remove us, it's comfortable. We've been doing it for years. We've been living that life for years. And the life with God, sometimes if we're honest, it's uncertain, right? It can be scary. It means a sacrifice. It means a life change. Sometimes it's painful. It's not always easy running into the calling of God when you're uncertain of what he has for you. But I can promise you that running into the arms and the calling of God will bring you so much more hope than the past life that we begged God to remove us from. And this morning, I hope that we can just grab a hold of that, that we can run forward. And I titled the sermon, Moving Forward, so we can move forward to God. Not having to look back in our rearview mirror. If you truly take hold and grab a hold of the promises of God, you don't have to look back anymore, but you can live in victory. You can live in that freedom. You can be set free in Christ. Amen. See? We got a believer over here just agreeing with me. I like it. So we're going to go this morning. We're going to go back to the cross. A lot of things transpired at the cross, but we're going to look at three things that transpired when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And when we believed that, asked him for forgiveness and began that relationship in our life, three things transpired that will radically change us and give us the hope we need to keep moving forward. Amen? So if you're taking notes, here we go. You ready? The first thing, you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have been redeemed. And then turn your Bibles to Galatians 1:4. Galatians 1:4. Galatians 1:4 says this. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. You have been redeemed. In the Old Testament, redemption is often a marketplace term for buying something back, for purchasing something back. So say you lost your property. A family member could purchase your property back for you. That's redemption. And we saw that on the cross when Jesus Christ, that's exactly what transpired, that terrible, terrible death he suffered on the cross. When that happened, he purchased you out of your that life, out of that sin that you were so enslaved to. He bought you back. We were enslaved to sin, and God removed us out of that completely. It's no longer a part of your life. He didn't just bring you a few steps forward. He plucked you out of that sinful life that you were living, purchased you on the cross. He bought you out of that. Amen? Being redeemed means we were purchased out of that slavery. I want you to write this down in your notes. Jesus traded his blood for your life. I want to show you guys a video that I have that I think really just captures what I'm telling you right now. Let's check it out. That is a reason to move forward. Amen? The second thing that transpired, you have been forgiven. Yeah, you're going to turn to your neighbor and say, you have been forgiven. You guys do such a good job at that. John, do you turn around to one of them? You have been forgiven. Let's look at Psalm 103:12. Psalm 103:12. That's what it says. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. You've been forgiven. In Isaiah 44:25, he says this, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Forgets your sin. Do you know that the east can never meet the west? The east goes on forever, and the west goes on forever. These two will never come together. That's how far he removed your sin. That's pretty far, something that never comes back around or never comes together. He forgot your sin. It says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, for anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. So maybe you're here this morning and you're carrying around a guilt on your shoulders because of things you've done in the past. Maybe it's something you even did last night or last week or something you intend to do. You have this guilt on your shoulder because of these sins, and you don't even believe that you're worthy enough to be in this church. That you're accepted, that God wants you to be one of his children. I'm here to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. You have been forgiven. We just read it. It's one of God's promises. It's right there. As far as the east is from the west, he removed that sin from your shoulders, and your guilt was nailed to the cross with him. You don't have to live that way. You can live in freedom because on the cross, Jesus Christ gave it to you. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. Amen. Can the worship team come up? Third thing that transpired, you were accepted. You were accepted by God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you were accepted. You were accepted. I want to tell you guys a story from the Bible in John 4 about a woman that was accepted by God when no one else would accept her. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to Galilee. And in going to Galilee, they had to cross through Samaria. And when they got to Samaria, they were tired, they were thirsty and hungry. So Jesus, he sits down next to Jacob's well, and he has the disciples go and get food and so they can eat. And while he's sitting at the well, it's around noontime, one of the hottest points of the day, and a woman comes to the well to draw water. And Jesus has a conversation with this woman. But what I want to talk to you about is nothing about this scene should happen. People typically come to the well during the morning or in the evening when it's cooler, not in the hottest point of the day. And for Jesus to have a conversation with a Samaritan, a woman asks her for a drink, he's breaking Jewish customs. The reason why she was at the well is because she was shunned by her friends and the people in this community because of the life she was living. Because of the sins she was entangled in. Multiple husbands, living with a guy that's not her husband, that's all that the world saw, and they condemned her for it. So she had to go to the well when no one else would be around so no one would see her. Jesus knew this, and he made sure that he was at that place, at that moment for her. Not to condemn her, not to tell her she's doing all these horrible things and she doesn't have a chance, but to say, I see what you're going through. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. I know that you have this past life, but you don't have to live in the past. I'm going to set you free from that past. If you drink from my well, the living well, if you come and drink from my cup, you will never thirst again. At that moment, the woman at the well was redeemed. She was set free. The Jewish customs, the laws, none of that mattered. Jesus just wanted to be there for her, to accept her. She felt acceptance for the first time in who knows how long. She felt loved for the first time in who knows how long. And she ran to tell everyone about it. That's how excited she was. I want to tell you this morning that you are accepted by God just the way you are. Don't for a second think that you're not good enough. Don't think that whatever you did in the past, God's not going to love you. God's not going to forgive you because he's going to run to you. He's going to embrace you with love that we can't even understand or comprehend. You've been accepted by God. He's created you in his image. God doesn't make mistakes. In the Bible, he calls you his masterpiece. And of all the things he created that we stand in awe of, he calls you his masterpiece. Walk in that freedom. Walk in that redemption. Walk in that forgiveness. That's your life now. That past life, that Lot's wife, and sometimes we've looked back to, that's not your destiny. That's not what God has called you to. He's got a plan for you, and it's amazing. And if you would just look into his eyes and run after the cross, after God, you'll see that he has an amazing life for you. I've asked the worship team to play a song. It's called Come to the Altar. And I know we've in the past invited people up here, but this morning the altar is your seat. Can everyone stand? This morning, the altar is right where you're at. And as we're singing this song, if God is tugging on your heart, right where you're at in your seat, I pray that you would come to the altar. Come to Jesus. Kneel at the foot of the cross, like Pastor Ryan said. If you need to kneel, whatever you need to do to be in the presence of God, to allow Him to minister to you. God wants to break chains this morning. He wants to set you free this morning. He doesn't want you to have to live with that guilt anymore, and He's going to do it right now in Jesus' name as we worship through this song. So as we're worshiping, you just be in His presence. Allow Him to love on you. Allow Him to minister to you, and I promise the results are going to be amazing. Amen? Let's worship God.